Good morning. We're just out sharing some truth from the Word of God today. And so what I'd like to share just now is something from the Psalms. The Psalms were written by King David. There's a Psalm that's written by Moses, some by a few other songwriters. It's a Hebrew songbook. And there in the Psalms, there's some precious comfort. A lot of people today are looking for hope. They're looking for something to encourage them. And I just like to encourage you today that there's hope in God, that there's solidity in God, that there's stability in God. If you look at Psalm 91, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I don't know about you today, but everything seems uncertain. I'm watching my retirement account go down. I'm seeing the price at the pump go up. We're all seeing the difficulties of utilities and things like that. There's just a lot of uncertainty today, but there is solidity in God. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." You might wonder today, well, how do I get in God? How do I rest in God? How do I find hope in God? Well, the scripture goes on to say, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." The way somebody comes to faith in God is by believing the Word of God, taking what God has said and putting their faith in it. It's not abstract. It's not like, I hope and therefore it exists. Today if I say, well, I hope there's gravity, it doesn't make gravity. Or if I think there's not gravity, gravity doesn't disappear. Even though it's invisible, I can't see it, it exists. I see things about it, therefore I believe in it. It's the same with God. I look around today and I see His design. I see the fact that the trees give me oxygen to breathe. I see that He's made the sun to give me heat. And I see the design that in creation, I look around and I see people that were not made by an explosion, but I see people that were designed and made by God. All those things help me to have faith based on things that I can know. Today I can know a lot more than just what I can see. I can know about God from the Bible. I can look in the Word of God and I can see about Jesus Christ being crucified and what He did when He died on the cross for our sin, that He died and paid the price for me. I can look at the Bible and I can say, why did Jesus do that? Why did He die? Why did He suffer? And the Word of God says that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. I can begin to take those truths into my life. I can recognize the principle of sin, which the Bible speaks about. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I can look at my life and I can say, yes, I recognize that. That's why at night I feel guilty or I feel burdened about something. I did something. I said something I shouldn't have said. I did something I shouldn't do. And I can recognize that the Word of God is true because it says that I'm a sinner. And the punishment for my sin, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. And I could look at that and I could think, that seems like that would make a lot of sense. Why? Because sin has corrupted this planet. God said to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, "The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Adam and Eve took of the fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They ate of it, and in eating of it, they opened the Pandora's box to all the ungodliness that we see in our world. They opened the box to death and to sorrow and to sickness and to heartache. And again, I can look at that and I can say, well, that's just because of mankind has transgressed God's law. But praise God, the Bible also again speaks about the love of God for us. Romans 5:8 says, "For while we are yet, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He lovingly paid the price for our sin as He died on the cross for us. Why did He do that? He died for us to pay the price so that by faith we can receive God's gift. You might wonder today, well, Ben, how does somebody go to heaven? Well, it's not by doing good. Imagine today that somebody could do good and that would take away the bad. If they stood before a judge and the judge said, well, you're guilty, you committed that crime, and they said, well, hey, listen, I'd like to just do a bunch of good things to get out of my crime. The judge cannot say, well, hey, you murdered somebody, that's okay, go ahead and do some good things, and that'll take care of the fact that you murdered somebody. They've got to pay for their crime. And that's the same with us. And the thing is, we can pay for our crime by spending eternity away from God in a place called hell. Or we can accept what Christ did when He died on the cross for our sin. Because that's what the cross is all about. It's all about Jesus Christ being our substitute. It's all about Him taking our punishment. It's all about Him paying the price so that you and I, by the grace of God, could be forgiven. So that we could receive God's gift of everlasting life. And so we're talking about being in God in a day that's an uncertain day, a day that's a difficult day, and the economic turmoil and the war and the pestilence and sickness and things that are out there, these are unsettling things, but there is strength, there is stability, and it's in God. And so the Bible goes on to say, Psalm chapter 91, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The pestilence is sickness. We understand the fear that we have of illness. If you don't believe in fear of illness, look back at these past 2 years and ask yourself, how is it that the whole world reacted so incredibly to a pandemic? I mean, it was amazing the things that we would have never believed would happen because there is a fear about death and a fear about what's going to take place from this. And God says, look, I'm here for you in a time of pestilence. I am here to help you. I'm here to comfort you. I'm here to encourage you. The Bible says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And praise God today, if somebody is in Christ, they are secure. The worst thing that can happen to them is they can fall asleep in Christ, and that's death, but they wake up in the eternal presence of God. The Bible says for a believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But the Bible says about somebody that's not in Christ, after death, then it's the judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. You know, we need to be ready for that day. God desires us to be ready for that day. God wants to encourage us. God wants to help us. I would tell you this about God today. God desires very much to put his arm around everybody that we see and everybody that is in this life. But the thing is this, God can't put his arm around sin. God cannot fellowship with sin. The Bible says about God, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. For us to come to God, we've got to deal with our sin. The only thing that can take away our sin is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ had to take his life's blood. He had to pour it out on the cross of Calvary for us. Let me just speak about the cross for a second here this morning. On the cross, as Jesus Christ was crucified, first of all, before he ever got to the cross, they stripped the Lord Jesus Christ of his garments. They took a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. They put a reed in his hand. They plucked his beard out. They blindfolded the Lord Jesus Christ and they buffeted him, they punched him. They said, who punched you? They began to mock him and act as if he was the king that indeed he is. The Bible says about Jesus Christ, he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. But they buffeted him, they mocked him, they cursed him. Then they took him and they disrobed him and they stretched his body out and they took a cat of nine tails, a whip that had nine sharp strands on it, that had sharp pieces of glass and metal on it, and they took that whip and they whipped the back of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Isaiah, 650 years before the cross, that with his stripes we are healed. Jesus Christ was mocked, he was cursed, but as he's dying for those that were crucifying him, even as he died for us. And the Bible says that they took Jesus Christ and they nailed him to a cross of shame. They took his feet, they bent them backwards, they took a nail, they put it through his feet. They took his hands, they put him up on the wooden beams of the cross. They drove those spikes through his hands. They took that cross, they lifted it up in the air, they dropped it down into that hole. The Bible says that his bones were pulled out of joint by that cross. And there Jesus Christ would struggle to breathe. He would have to pull himself up on those nails that were there in his hands and his feet just to struggle to breathe. But on the cross, Jesus Christ lovingly died for our sin. The worst part of the cross was not the crucifixion. The worst part of the cross was when Jesus cried out these words. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God the Father turned his back on God the Son because of the same truth that we've been speaking about just moments ago. And that is our sin separates us from God. Our sin divides us from God. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. A lot of people today want to grab hold of their sin. They want to justify their sin. Our day, more than any day, there are people today that are beginning to take the very sins that they committed, and they're putting legislation through. They're saying, this is no longer sin because the government says it's okay. They're going into the schools, and the schools are saying, this is no longer sin because we say it's okay. They're going into the churches, and the churches are saying, this is no longer sin because we say it's okay. They're seeking to justify their sin in their own eyes. But that's not justification. They can declare it righteous all they want, but it doesn't change anything. The Bible says, though the wicked join hand to hand, yet the wicked shall not be unpunished. They are grabbing hold of one another and saying, we are going to resist God, we are going to stand against God, but it doesn't do it. It doesn't cleanse the heart. It doesn't change the reality of our sin. What we need is forgiveness. What we need is mercy. What we need is the grace of God through Jesus Christ to justify us. You know, praise God, Jesus Christ has that power. Jesus Christ, when he died, I'm speaking about the crucifixion of Christ. There as he died, the Bible says he took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He nailed it to his cross. Jesus Christ died as if he was guilty of our sin. God the Father turned his back on God the Son because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died for us. He paid the price for us on Calvary. Why? Because he loves us. Why? Because he wants to forgive us. If somebody could say, well, that message about sin, that offends me. Well, you know, our sin is an offense to a holy God. It's okay to be offended a little bit in our sin. I'll tell you this, my sin convicts me. My sin makes me feel guilty in the sight of God. It makes me desire God's cleansing. It makes me desire God's mercy. It makes me desire God's forgiveness. And the Bible does speak about that. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God has the power today to forgive men's sins. He has the power to cleanse us. He has the power to take away our sin. How? Through Jesus Christ and his crucifixion for us. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be cleansed. It's a wonderful thing to lay your head on your pillow at night and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your heart is clean before a holy God, that you have been given God's gift of everlasting life, that you have entered into an eternal relationship with God. Friend, do you know that today? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died, you'd go to heaven? Could you say, Ben, 100%, I know for sure if I died. And could you say to me, Ben, I've got a Bible reason. This is what God says in his word, and that's what I've done. And I'll tell you this, the only Bible reason that God accepts is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. Again, there's young people today, they're caught up with sin and their mates and doing all sorts of things. And I mean, the pub culture is huge and everything is about living life large, and it's about sports and it's about theater and it's about friends and everything but God. And yet, how we need God today. We're talking about that in the book of Psalms, where the Bible speaks it out. I'll be your refuge. I'll be your strength. I'll be your comfort. I'll be your help. But the thing is, today, our world is casting off the very God they need. Jesus Christ said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God desires us to have everlasting life. God desires us to have strong marriages. God desires us to raise godly kids that are good citizens. And have character and have just a goodness about them that can be in the heart of somebody that wants to do right, wants to please God, wants to live for God, wants to respect the authority that has been put into their life. And very sadly today, we have young people that have been corrupted by sin. Their lives are being abused by sin. They're without hope. They're being told in the schools that there is no God. They're being told in the schools that right is wrong and wrong is right. And their social upbringing is twisted from that which God designed. God desires us to understand what life's all about, what marriage is all about, what the family's all about, and how to live a godly life and with God and to be with God. And when somebody's in that position, they have God as their rock. They have God loving them and caring for them, nurturing them. But listen, somebody that would stand up for Jesus Christ in our day is a person that is going to be vilified. They're going to be people that mock them. They're going to be people that curse them. Why? Because the way they treated Jesus Christ is the way that person will be treated. But I'll tell you this, it's worth standing up with Jesus Christ. It's worth being unashamed of the old rugged cross. It's worth loving God supremely. If you're a believer today and you know Jesus Christ as our Savior, let me encourage you, take a stand for God in an ungodly day. Let your light shine in a world that's very dark, a world that has turned its back on God and is acting as if there is no God. Listen, atheists say to me, when I die, I'll go to the grave, you know, because that's what I believe. Listen, when I believe in God, that doesn't make God exist. When somebody does not believe in God, that does not make God disappear. God exists today. And God desires you to know Him. God wants you to know Him in a personal way. That is the hope that is there today. The hope is God. The hope is truth. The hope is knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way, having that relationship with God. Again, there's plenty of people that are seeking hope in a bottle. They're seeking hope in a drug. They're seeking hope in a relationship. They're seeking hope in an economy that's broken. But all of these things disappoint. All of these things are empty outside of God. But these things are wonderfully, truth is wonderfully satisfying in God. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give thee the desires of thine heart. God knows how life works. God made you. God designed you. God has a purpose for your life. And praise God, we can find that through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is reaching out today, just like He did 2,000 years ago as He died on the cross for your sin. The Son of God would look at you with love today, with compassion, with a desire to help you. But listen, to be helped by God, you've got to help yourself. There has to be a willingness to let go of sin and to grab hold of Christ. You cannot say, well, I'd like Jesus Christ to save me and hold on to that which killed Him. Jesus Christ died because of our sin. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace is upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. It's what He did when He lovingly died on the cross for our sin that makes it possible for us to get related to God. It's through His death, through His resurrection, that we can enter into the very presence of God, that I can say as a believer today that I know for sure that when I die, I'm going to heaven because I have Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and my Savior. Oh, friend, do you have Jesus Christ today? You might say to me, Ben, how did you get saved? Well, as a little boy, as a five-year-old, I heard my dad preach a message on hell. He spoke about it biblically, that it's a fire, that it's eternal, that it's separation from God. As a little boy, I knew I was a sinner. I knew that the punishment for my sin was hell. And I went down to my dad's study and I said, Dad, I'd like to get saved. I'd like to know for sure if I died, I'm going to heaven. My dad showed me I was a sinner, that the punishment for sin is hell, but that Jesus Christ paid that price on the cross when He died for me. And that He didn't stay in the grave, but that He rose from the dead. And He said, Benjamin, if you'll put your trust in Jesus Christ, you can be saved. As a little boy, I bowed my head and I said, Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Will you please forgive me of my sin and save me? And I tell you this, I'm 46 years old now. I was 5 years old when I trusted Christ 41 years ago. But that memory is vivid in my mind because that's the day that I personally trusted Christ as my Savior. And I can tell you today, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to heaven. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is my God. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is my Lord, is my Savior, because I have received Him personally into my heart. Listen, what I'm preaching about today is not about a religion. Yes, I'm an independent Baptist minister, but it's not about becoming a Baptist to get saved. It's not about becoming a religious person to get saved. It's about repenting of our sin and putting our faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. It's about knowing God. It's about what God intended when God created us and designed us. He designed us to have that relationship with Him, just like He came down and He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, and He had that time of fellowship with them. God desires fellowship with His creation. But as you know today, many have turned their backs on God. They mock God, they laugh at God, they curse God. And the Bible says this. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you might say today, Ben, those are harsh words. Why would the Bible call somebody a fool that rejects God? The reason is this. Jesus Christ is the principle of life. Jesus Christ is eternal life. Without Jesus Christ, nobody will spend eternity in heaven. It's a very sad thing today for people to turn their back on the God that loves them, whose Son, Jesus Christ, died for them, to act as if He does not exist. When He does exist, when His Son, Jesus Christ, did die for us, when He's made a way for us to be forgiven and to have God's gift of everlasting life. God desires you to have that. Listen, I just say to you today, it doesn't matter who you are. If you've mocked God, you've cursed God, you've never believed in God in your life, that God is reaching out. That God loves you. That God will, again, say to you today, repent of your sin. That means to change your mind. Turn your back on that which is destroying your life. Turn your face toward Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And praise God again today. That opportunity is there. There is mercy today. Again, the Word of God says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. What matters is this. The price that Christ paid on the cross is sufficient for your sin. It is every bit as powerful as needed to cleanse you of your sin, to make you God's beneficiary of everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I encourage you to pick up a Bible and read the book of John. Begin to read about the life of Christ. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. God desires to give you his gift today. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the thing about a gift is all you have to do is take it. All you have to do is receive it. God put it out there through Christ and his crucifixion, his death. He paid the price. But listen, we all must come to the point where we bow the knee and we say to God, God, I don't deserve it. I don't understand why you did that for me, but your son Jesus died for me. And God, right now, I take by faith the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and my Savior. Friend, have you ever done that? That's where eternal life is. A lot of people, again, they think that a high is to be found in drugs, it's to be found in alcohol, it's to be found in relationships. But listen, the high that God desires you to have is a high that you never come down from. It's a high that's found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's pure, it's right, it's holy, just like marriage. Sex outside of marriage is wicked, but sex in marriage is God ordained. It is made to be a blessing to that man and that woman. And just like that, life is a blessing in obedience to God. When somebody will obey God, there is a great delight in it, great joy in it. Again, people think that satisfaction is in wickedness and vileness and ungodliness. It's not there, but listen, it is in Christ. It can be had today. Oh, friend, do you have that today? Do you have that knowledge that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior? Father, I just praise you for the grace that you give. I pray for the Word of God to, again, just strike the hearts of the hearers. Lord, in your mercy, Scotland needs Jesus Christ. Father, all the nations of the world need Jesus Christ. But I pray, oh God, in your mercy for this nation. Father, I pray for the people that hear the Word of God. I pray they not despise it. I pray they not turn their back on the fountain of life. But I pray, oh God, that they get a Bible and begin to read it. Begin to go to church. Begin to seek after God. Begin to ask God, oh God, reveal yourself to me. Father, in your mercy, I pray. In your mercy. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.